So, Rabbi Yisai, according to the Medrash Hele Eskero, we come now to the 10th of the Asor HaRogei Malchus. Actually, in the Nusach Hele Eskero that we say on Yom Kippur, he is number 5, but in the Medrash Hele Eskero is number 10, and Alze Halavono in Adir HaToyro, which we will say tomorrow, if Mashiach doesn't come before, then there he is number 10 as well. So, and the last of them, number 10, was Rebbe Loza ben Shamua. Rebbe Loza ben Shamua, Stam Rebbe Loza in the Mishnah, is Rebbe Loza ben Shamua, and there are literally hundreds of Mamorim. He's very, very, like yesterday we spoke about Rebbe Sheva of HaSofer, who doesn't appear in the Mishnah anywhere, and as Mamori Chazal, as Halochas, or anything like that. Rebbe Loza is just the opposite, Talmud of Rebbe Akiva. He had Smicha. He was one of the 5 Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva, who, after all his Talmidim died, he I don't know, but he didn't give them Smicha, because he actually got Smicha from Rebbe Yehuda ben Bovo, and we learned the story of Rebbe Yehuda ben Bovo in the field when he gave Smicha to, again, 5, or according to one Gersa, 6 Talmidim. In any event, this Rebbe Loza ben Shamua says as follows: Oysa yom omro lover Rebbe Loza ben Shamua shoyomeo v'chomei shonim. He was 105 years old when he was brought in front of the governor to be executed. Umikatnusoy at soif yomov, and from his childhood until the day he died, lo shoma odom shahoitzi tfilois mipiv. Nobody ever heard him davening. There's halacha in Simon, don't remember, Kuf Dalad, I think it is, in Hilchas Tfilah, that a person should daven privately, a person should daven quietly, and that apart from, I think there's an exception for a Shani Yom Kippur, Vaseyos made Shuvo, but generally speaking, a person davens in private, and we learnt it from Chano, the Haftorah that we'll say on Rosh Hashanah, that Rax Foseho Nois, V'Koylo Lo Yishomea. Yeah? Chazal say that it's also an Inyan Tzinius. Nobody else needs to hear what your bakoshas are. Nobody else needs to hear what your thing. And it's a common problem in shul sometimes. There are a lot of people who are busy shouting their tefillos, and it does sometimes. I think that it's brought down in halacha that some people consider it miktanei emuna. It's as if the Rebbe Shem can't hear me unless I shout. One should be mashmi'a le'oznov, which you can do quite easily. You can quite easily make a tefillah heard by yourself, that you can hear what you're saying, without other people having to hear what you say. In any event, that was one of the malas of Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. Hoya onov, shval ruach, yosheb b'tanis, shmoinim shono. For 80 years he had sat, every day he kept tanis. Vois hayom shenerag, yom kippurim hoya. He was taken out on Yom Kippurim. Vavol tamido lefono, va'omer loy. They said, Rabbeinu mo'ato roya. Omar Lahem, he said, Ani roya Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo, who gave smicha, we learned, to the 5 or 6 Akenim in between 2 mountains, far away from the town, so that they couldn't, so the Romans couldn't carry out any revenge on any particular town for having organized the smicha. And then he told the Talmidim to run, and he himself was, they said, the Gemara says that he was riddled like a sieve with spears. With the Roman spears, he told them, I can't run, you go. Yeah, and he says, so they asked him on the last day of Rebbe Loza ben Shamua's life, what do you see? And he said, Ani roi Rebbe Yehuda ben Bova, shemasin es mitosoi. I see in heaven that they're carrying the mito of Rebbe Yehuda ben Bova, one of the Asorah Harugim Malchus that we mentioned. Ves mitos Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef smucha etzloi, and Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef's mito is next to him. Vehei misvakchim bedva halocha yachad zeim zeh. And the 2 neshomas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova are discussing halachas. They're busy learning Torah. Omar Lohi said, Mi menatzeach, and who wins the argument? Omar Lohem, he said, Rabbi Akiva, why? Asher Torah chol koiche b'Torah. And he said there that Omar Lohem, Bonai Rani oit, Shenishmas kol tzadik v'tzadik, Metaharis zatzmon b'mea shiloyach, De lekones hayoim b'tara v'yeshiva shalmalo, Lishmoyas droshes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef, says all the Talmidim, they go to mikveh in the Me'a Shiloach, the Neshomas Kaviyochel, and then in Olam Abo they hear the Droshas, they hear the Torah of Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef. V'chol malach u'malach mevi'in katadroes shel zov tzadik v'tzadik leishev aleihem. And every tzadik in heaven is sitting on a golden throne, leishev alo b'taharo. Tzivo hakeis el horgoi. V'yotzos baskol v'omro. And the baskol said, Ashrecha Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, shehayisa tohoi v'yotzoso nishmoscho b'tahara. And that's the end of the Medrash Eile Eskero. And all the neshamas should be a zechus for Klal Yisrael, that we should be zeichet to Moshiach b'meir v'yomeinu.
Start the Torahway Northwest London. Wednesday, Ches of 22nd of July. Reina Rav Reb Yonason Rudin Shlita, who is the Rav of Finchley Federation, also part of JFT and Chazon, getting ready for Tisha B'Av. This week's Torah been sponsored Lil Nishmas Moras Etel Bas Avraham HaKohen Lashona, whose Yatza was on the 4th of Av. Lil Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Reb Yosef Dov Ben, Reb Shim Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz and Zichron Noli Brachov.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Shkayach, thank you for having me back. I also do want to focus somewhat on the Asura Gemalchus, and perhaps from a slightly different perspective. First things first, when we come to Erev Tisha B'Av and getting ready for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is an intense day where really the mitzvah sayoim is bechia, is crying, is feeling. It's not as much an intellectual day as it is an emotional day. And emotions aren't something that can just be spontaneously generated. So we have a period. We have a period of Bein HaMetzorim. It's ironic, especially this year. Bein HaMetzorim between the straits. So it's the Strait of Hormuz or the Bab al-Mandab where the Houthis are trying to close off the straits. We're very much Bein HaMetzorim during Bein HaMetzorim in this period of global uncertainty. In this period of uncertainty, v'achreinu yeshvei Eretz Yisrael, we definitely feel this Bein HaMetzorim this year. And we have a period where it goes, it's the inverse of Avilus. When it comes to Avilus, where the emotions come naturally, so then you have the most intense form of Aninus, where you can't even do mitzvahs, you're part of from mitzvahs, and then there's the beginning of the Shiva, and then there's the end of the Shiva, the Shleishim, the Yid Beis Chodesh for a parent. Because the grief is intense, and then slowly we try to reintegrate into society and learn to have a nechama. Nechama means how to carry on living with a slightly different perspective. How does an amputee carry on missing a leg or whatever it might be? It doesn't mean you forget, but you have to learn how to navigate to the new reality. That's nechama. When it comes to this Avelis Yishana of the Churban, it's quite the opposite. We go minakala lakavod. We go from this period of the 3 weeks where the restrictions of the 3 weeks are relatively light. It's a giluach, tespiras, chasnas, rikida, music, whatever it might be. Then the 9 days is even more intense. Shvur Shechalboi is even more restrictive. Comes Erev Tisha B'Av, whereby this afternoon, Bas V'Yayin Asa Min Hadin, and not just Min HaMinag, it's asa to even go for a walk, on a pleasure stroll is even asa. We're trying not to do anything that will disturb our focus and our distraction from the day and till the point where Leil Tisha B'Av was sitting on the floor observing real Minhagi Avela sitting Shiva for the Beis HaMikdash together with all of Klal Yisrael. So these are emotions that can't just come at once, and we need to go through this process of sensitizing ourselves so that we can have an authentic and a real Tisha B'Av experience, because the quality of any experience depends on our ability to prepare for it. And part of that also is the Siddur Mafsekes. And the Siddur Mafsekes is obviously very different to the Yom Kippur Siddur Mafsekes, in as much as on Yom Kippur it's a Siddur Yantuf, there's an element of Simcha there, and the Siddur Mafsekes of Erev Tisha B'Av is very much a Siddur Sarvilim. And it says we're sitting on the floor and we don't make zimun, and it's also b'shtei tavshilin. So, person, you know, the siddur beforehand is incredibly, incredibly restrictive, and really trying to emulate as much as possible the minhagim of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, brought in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Tanis, where you'd sit in the most uncomfortable place in the house and just have some dry bread and a flask of water. And this is the siddur of Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, you do see certain parallels between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yes, you have both the Siddur Mafsekes, even though they're different. But they're both Ta'aniyos, where it's a 25-hour fast, Laila V'Yayim. And you also have the Chamish Inuyim as well. Everything which is Asa on Yom Kippur is basically Asa on Tisha B'Av as well. as opposed to other Taniyos where that is clearly not the case. Another one of those similarities, and we'll see why perhaps a little bit later, is the Asara Rege Malchus, which I want to focus on a bit. Is Asara Rege Malchus, which we speak about on Yom Kippur as part of the Avodah, in as much as they were Karbonos. And on Tisha B'Av, of course, and as a Halvana and as a Kina. It's interesting, just somewhat of an aside, the Seder HaYoim, who was a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, he was the author of Moed Ani, was the Rosh Hashiva in Zeitun next to Tzfas. He was really contemporary of the Mechaba. And he writes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that there was a minig that they take out the Sefer Torah in a black cloth, in a black cover. Because the Torah itself is but Avelus on Tisha B'Av. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures. There are some Sephardi shuls actually put the Sefer Torah on the floor on Tisha B'Av, which is a remarkable and shocking thing to see. But again, what? Either on a map or whatever it might be, but it's still, it's why? What's the symbolism? The symbolism says the Seder Ayoim is that the Torah itself is in Avelus on Tisha B'Av. Now on Tisha B'Av, we don't just mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash as a building per se, or as a place of korbanos. It's also Kimitzi and Titzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And so much of that Avelus and Tisha B'Av is the loss of Torah that comes as a result of the Chorben, or as a result of the Crusades, which had a major impact on the Baal Tosfos and the Torah that came out of France and Germany during that time. And there's very much a loss of Torah, which is really expressed in the Sasara Harige Malchus. It's interesting, the Seder Hayom is obviously living after the expulsion from Spain, and he's talking about what Jewish life was like then, and how people are not keeping Torah mitzvahs as they should, and how people need to reach out to others, and they need to make chaburas and teach people Torah mitzvahs, and to reach out to them again, not just to the Yechidim, but to really to the Rabbin. It's a remarkable piece of Seder Hayom that's very, very kedai to read, because the Torah itself is about avilus on Tisha B'Av, hence the minhag of taking out on a black cloth, or even putting it on the floor.
We have, I think, Nusach Torah
Chigrisak. Yeah, same thing.
What's that?
So, Torah Chigrisak, the Torah itself. Yeah, I mean, we absolutely do personify the Torah. Torah, HaKadosh is Chani B'Vakasha, Fnei Tzonerach, Naratz B'Kedisha. So we do personify the Torah very much. The Torah itself is Ba'avelus. When it comes to who the Asara Rege Malchus were, which obviously part of that Avelus is the loss of Torah that comes from them, is number one, is it's not brought in Bavli or Yerushalmi, or even in the earlier Midrashim. It is something that comes up in later Midrashim. And there is a Medrash and Mishlei that talks about it being a kapara for Mechias Yosef, which does reflect itself into Ela Ezkara. And there's a Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, which talks about 10 Rabbonim that were killed, but doesn't actually refer to them as Asara Harege Malchus per se. In the Cairo Geniza's version of the Medrash Shirim, there is a long, long piece on the Asara Harege Malchus, and tells us the story of each one, and the idea that Caesar read the story of Mechiras Yosef, he wants to perform justice and decides he's going to kill 10 leaders of the Jewish people. And the first two of those are Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael. L'tzareinu l'daveinenu, this tactic or technique is something that repeats itself through Golus. The idea of our enemies using our calendar against us, using our Masorah against us, was something that the Nazis used to great effect. There was no shortage of places where they'd hang 10 Jews on Purim to avenge the 10 sons of Haman. And those kind of things of trying to invert the Torah against us. The trains to Treblinka, the liquidation and deportation of the Warsaw Ghetto in 1942, start on Tisha B'Av. Right, to strike a psychological blow against the Jews, but we also understand that this is another expression of Churban. La'erech kaladoyos. When you put all the Midrashim and everything together, in fact, the Sefer Eila Ezkara does this, you probably have about 14 different possibilities of who the Asara Rogi Malchus are, because different ones are mentioned in different accounts and in different Midrashim. And there's a big debate as well whether they were contemporaries of each other. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael likely lived before Churban Bayis Sheni. Even that itself is potentially debatable. Even their exact identities might be up for Machlekes as well. The Gemara does say that when Shmuel HaKotan died, he said that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael are going to be killed and the others will be killed as well, which Rashi says is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Nasi, and Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. And they were killed in the events leading up to the Churban itself. And it could be that he doesn't name the others, Shmuel Cotton doesn't name the others, because they hadn't yet risen to leadership. That it was a gradual process through and after the story of the Churban as well. Though, again, somewhat of a machlekes, and Rabbeinu Bachir does seem a furish that they weren't killed at the same time, and the fact that we put them together in one piyutah, in one kina, is not a literary form rather than a historical account per se. So for effect, if you like, we put them together as one, rather than an accurate historical account. In terms of who they are, so it's possible, and again, because we do have these discrepancies. One way of being miyash of that is the Romans didn't just kill 10 people. There are a million, as far according to Josephus, there are a million Jews that were killed at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. And Ubei Nehem, Kama Gedolim v'Chachamim, Rabbanim v'Talmidehem. The fact that they killed more than 10 is therefore highly likely, and there were for many more than 10 that were killed by the Romans. And perhaps Pshat is that the Machlekes of who the Asara Harugim Malchus were who were the ones that were so great that they were roi to be Mechapa for Mechiras Yosef. Rather, I mean, it's an analytical question or a conceptual question, again, rather than a historic question, because we're not as interested here in the history, rather in the lessons and the messages that it teaches us. And therefore, the fact they weren't contemporaries to each other doesn't disqualify them from being included in the Asara Harugim Malchus, because as you're looking at it over time, who were the 10 that were selected to be Mechape for Mechiras Yosef? We'll see that Rav Chaim Friedlander's Mahalach will really fit with this in a very powerful way. Rav Yosha Ben Soloveitchik does point out that, again, that we do mention it on Yom Kippur, we do mention it on Tisha B'Av, but they play a different role. In Yom Kippur, it's a chelik of the Avodah. And the idea of mentioning the Asara Harugim Malchus is one of the most emotive pieces, I always find, of the Yom Kippur davening, is because Misas Tzadikim is Mechape. And therefore, Yom Kippur, Hayos that Yom Kippur is a Yom HaKippurim, we invoke the Zchus of Misas Tzadikim, that it should their Mesiras Nefesh should stand with us. Masha'en came when it comes to... And that's why we say Chatanu Tzureinu when it comes to Eila Ezkara on Yom Kippur. Masha'en came here, and Arzei Halvana, and this is in Avedus on the Churban, because the Misas Tzadikim is a form of Churban, the loss of Torah that we mentioned before, that is a form of Torah, of Churban. It's not just the physical destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not just the physical exile from the land, it is also the loss of Torah that comes as a result of the fact that we're in Golus as well, and therefore we're mourning the Torah that was lost and the leadership that was lost as a result of the Roman persecution and the subsequent Golus as well. Rav Chaim Friedlander takes it to a whole new level there, in Sifsi Chaim, and he brings it here. He introduces a concept called an alila, meaning there are certain punishments that weren't because the people deserved them. Rather, Kodesh Baruch Hu was waiting for, quote unquote, an excuse to bring them around. So, for example, Yosef HaTzadik, and he brings this also in his piece in Sefer Bereishis, that Yosef HaTzadik didn't deserve to be sold as a slave into Mitzrayim. It's rather the whole story of Mechiras Yosef was orchestrated by Hashem's Hashkacha in order to bring Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, down to Mitzrayim so that Hashem could take us up again. Meaning this was divine orchestration. So it was part of a much bigger plan where it was not the chalomus or whatever, weren't the reason, rather it was the excuse, a divine excuse, or a way of Hashem carrying out his plan. This is his concept of an alila. Or more than that, so you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't deserve, per se, the punishment for being restricted into Eretz Yisrael. Rather, Hashem orchestrated the events so that the Achet Merei Meriva was the excuse for him not to be allowed in, because had Moshe Rabbeinu let us in, we never would have been able to leave, and if we never been able to leave, then it's the same thing with the David HaMelech. Had he built the Beis HaMikdash, then Hashem would have had to have taken out on Klal Yisrael rather than taking out on the Beis HaMikdash. So this is all part of Hashem's plan. But the way he explains it is as following, that Arab HaMachshavta, and this is when we talk about the Asar HaRegei Malchus and Rabbi Akiva, Kach Arab HaMachshavta Lefanei. This is when the Malachi Ashara is the Torah of the Yuschara. You know what? This is with Moshe Rabbeinu sees him. Kach alab machshava lefanai. You know, you can't ask. What's that? So normally we understand. Kach alab machshava lefanai is when we see Rabbi Akiva, and by extension, the other Asura HaRegei Malchus, or by extension, the Gainim and Rav Aharon Lapiansky does this every year. He gives a hesped. By Asar HaRegei Malchus, every year gives a hesped for another Gadol B'Yisrael that was killed in the Holocaust. Every year is masped another one, because again, it's the loss of Torah La'erech Kol HaDoros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach Alab Machshava Lefanai. So the simple pshat in Kach Alab Machshava Lefanai is, okay, this is what I wanted, this is what I think, and it's none of your business, and don't get involved. Just don't fregnishkin kashas. Don't get involved. And that is really one approach you can have to churban in general. Kach alav machshava lefanav. This was Hashem's. This was his machshava. This is what he thought. And don't ask any questions, because either you won't understand, or you can't understand, or you shouldn't understand. Ruchan Friedlander doesn't really go with that mahalach. He understands what does it mean. Kach alav machshava lefanav. And this really is it cuts to the heart of the issue. He explains that there's a Chazal. The Chazal say when Hashem created the world, Ala b'machshavtoi, to create the world with Midas HaDin. That was his original Havamina. Hashem wanted to create the world with Din. There are actions, there are consequences. You do the time, whatever it is. That Arab Machshava was to create a world with Midas HaDin. What did he do? He saw very quickly that human beings are not going to be able to cope with that. That were there to be a world of pure Din and pure strict justice, then every time we did an Avera we'd be struck down by a bolt of lightning, then there will be no future for humanity. There's no way. There's no way that we could have been able to function. So what does Hashem do? He's Meshatef the Din with Rachamim. Hashem adds the element of Chesed to Din, which means that He gives us time. There's Rachamim. And that is really the way that the world functions. That we wouldn't be able to live were there not this Rachamim. And why not Hashem not to give us extra time to be able to sort ourselves out? However, he explains, Kach ala b'machshava lefanai means there are times when Hashem does employ his Midas HaDin. Kach ala b'machshava lefanai means that I'm operating now with my original Havamina of running the world with Din, in order that he should be able to implement his master plan. Now, the master plan was to have a world purely of Din. And that would be necessary, and that is a mechanism that needs to be employed ultimately to get us to the goal. This is what the Ramchal and Das Tvinas refers to as the Cheshbon HaYichud. That in as much as there's Chava Oynish for individual things, there's also a bigger picture of the world being led to its goal, and the world being led to its ultimate tachlis. And therefore, when it comes to Asar Harigim Malchus, and Moshe Rabbeinu questions Hashem about Rabbi Akiva's death, so Hashem says, Kachal Shteik, Kachal Machshava Lefanai. So Chaim Friedlander says, this is this idea of B'tchila Ala B'machshava, to run the world according to Minas Adin. It's not going to work, so he runs it with Rachamim. But these Asara Harige Malchus were judged with the Midas Adin. And for us, it is a lesson to appreciate that Hashem ordinarily judges the world with Chesed and Rachman. Now, if we zoom forward to Rabbi Akiva, this starts to get even more interesting. Because the Gemara tells us, and it's actually brought slightly differently in Bavli and Yerushalmi, when Rabbi Akiva was being taken out to be executed, it was Man Krishma. And Rabbi Akiva was Makabal Ol Malchus Shamayim on himself. And they said, the Talmidim said, Adkan. To which Rabbi Akiva says, Kol Yomai Hayisim Itzta'ar Ol Pasuk Zeh B'chol Nafshecha Filo Netel Es Nafshecha. My whole life, I was waiting for this moment. Now, I get to this moment, I'm not going to do it. And Rabbi Akiva Yatsa Nishmasa Be'echad, Rabbi Akiva says, Krishma, Yatsa Nishmasa Be'echad, and the Baskol comes out. Ashrech Rabbi Akiva Shiyatsa Nishmasa Be'echad. So by the way, on that Gemara, I'm always reminded, the story that I tell quite frequently when I take groups to the Danube River. And if anyone's been to the Danube, in Budapest, there's the Shoes Monument of the towards the end of the war. January 1945, thousands and thousands of Yidden in Budapest were lined up by the Danube. The Russians are advancing, and the Hungarian Nazis, known as the Arrow Cross, shot thousands of Yidden into the Danube. Lined them up, took off their shoes, because shoes were always useful to give to somebody else, give to a non-Jew who needs them. And they're shot into the Danube. After the war, Chassid goes to the Pshevorsky Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I've got a kasha. Why do we say, Avinu Malkeinu, Asei Leman, Harigim Al Shem Kodeshecha? And then we say, Avinu Malkeinu, Asei Leman Tvichim Al Yichidecha. Are they, Rebbe, are they not the same thing? Are they not the same thing? Avinu Malkeinu, do for us, for the sake of those who are killed in your holy name, for those who are killed, for the sake of your unity. Is it not the same? Says the Pshevorsky was a perceptive man. He realized the man wanted to say something. He said, no, what do you say? He said, Rebbe, I was at the Danube. I was there. I'm a survivor. And I saw how they strafed the line of Jews, of Yidden, with machine guns. In a line. And I was there when the Yidden called out Shema Yisrael. And there were Yidden who only made it to Shema Yisrael Hashem. And they were Tvichim Al Shem Kodeshecha. Harigim Al Shem Kodeshecha. And there were Yidden at the end of the line who made it to Hashem Helikeinu Hashem Echad. And they were Tvichim Al Shem Yichudecha. And they were killed Al Yichudecha. So Rabbi Akiva makes it to the end of Krishma, to the end of the first line of Krishma. And Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Shiyatza Nishmascha Be'echad. I think there's something very, very powerful over here that ties it all together. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem, when Chal spoke about Cheshbon HaYichud, is essentially the idea the Pasuk tells us, Yaitza Ayr Abayra Chayshach, Ayse Shalom Abayra Ra. Ani Hashem Oysa Kol Eila, says the Navi. We change it in our Shachris, the Abayra Sakoil. But the Navi says Abayra Ra. We also know, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, in the morning you have to say, mention the evening at the night, and the night in the morning. Right? Why? For those that say the Shterashayos. There were Zoroastrians and others at the time, certainly the time of the Churban, that believed there were two forces in the world. There's a force of light and there's a force of darkness. There's a force of the good and a force of evil. and they're in constant battle with each other. And in the daytime, the forces of good are winning, and then the nighttime, the forces of evil are winning, and they're two existential. It's an existential struggle about two shtei rishuyos. The Gemara in Pesachim, the idea of zugos says maral is because you mustn't have. Even we don't like even numbers because it's more in shtei rishuyos. There's one God, who is the source of absolutely everything, who's the source of good and the source of that which we perceive as bad. When Rabbi Akiva is makabel on himself O Malchus Shamayim, what's he saying? This is the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. I understand that right now it looks bad. Right now it looks terrible. But it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one source for everything, for good and for evil. And right now, we relate to bad as bad. And we hear bad news, what do we say? We say, Baruch Dayan Ames. And we hear good news, it's HaToyva Ametiv. Says the Gemara Pesachim. La'asid Lavai. On good news, we'll make HaToyva Ametiv. And on bad news, we'll make HaToyva Ametiv. Because the Asid Lavoi will be able to understand how absolutely everything was absolutely necessary to lead the world to its tachlis. Whether it looks good right now, whether it's bad, it looks bad right now. Yes, right now we mourn for that which was bad. Ultimately though, and this is the way the Ramchal explains, the Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Anera, Kodesh Baruch is going to be Pires as HaSimla, he says. Hashem's going to stretch out the sheet, or you'll see the whole movie in one. You'll see the whole, all of human existence as one. You'll understand how could it be that 1.5 million Jewish children would be Mesuba Katnusan, would die in the Holocaust, be killed Al Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust. How could it be that Gdol Yisrael would be murdered? How could it be such Chorben? Right now we relate to that as bad. Right now we sit on the floor and we cry and we say Adina Emes. La Asid Lavai. When we have the perspective of everything, it's all Hatoiva Mitiv. We'll understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Yichud Hashem and Cheshbon HaYichud means ultimately it was good. Because it was leading the world to its tachlis of Geula, of redemption, of fixing up of all of humanity, the ultimate tikkun of Chet Adoration, everything, all of humanity will be fixed up, and he couldn't have done it better had he tried. It couldn't have been better had he tried. Right now, we have a mitzvah of Venus. Right now, we relate to evil as evil and to bad as bad. And the person comes in on Tisha B'Av and starts pretending, it's all wonderful, you know, it's Od Yoter Tov. It's insensitive, it's insane, and it's awesome. We relate to bad as bad. We relate to evil as evil. Emunah is living with the knowledge. There's one source to everything. That's Yichud Hashem. That's the Cheshbon HaYichud. That is the... The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world ultimately with Midas Hadin, and it is absolutely necessary to employ Midas Hadin to bring the world to its tachlis, and therefore there are tzaddikim that are going to be treated with Midas Hadin, even if they don't better deserve it, because that is necessary to take the world to its goal. How, when are we going to understand that? Only La'asid Lover. Only La'asid Lover. It's one day in the year when we try a little bit to lift the veil, that's Purim, Adalayada, because ultimately it's all the same thing. The rest of the year we relate to evil as evil and to good as good. But that's the bad side of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a mayat. There's no tachna. There's an element of Yom Tov. An element of Yom Tov even now, because we're holding on with the emunah that we understand that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for good. And that's why we say, Tzidik Hadin, Tzadik Hu Hashem Ki Piyo Marisi. We don't have any kashas on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We have kashas on ourselves. The emunah of Tisha B'Av is the emunah of Yichud Hashem. That was the mysterious nefesh of Rabbi Akiva. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, you lived kol yonai. He spent every single day, because Rabbi Akiva for him is a drip drip process like the water on the stone, day by day, by day, by day, by day. That epiphany, that realization at the beginning of his journey accompanied him every single day. Kol yonai, I was mitzvah. Am I ever going to get to this level of realizing the Yichud Hashem, of understanding that ultimately it is all for the good? And Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Shiyatza Nishmascha Be'echad, to understand Yitzor Baruch Hashem, Eisi Shalom Be'ra. And Yashem Isa Kla'ila, and that Be'etim is the Emunah of Tisha B'Av, which Halavai Halavai should be a Yom Tov, and we'll understand ultimately why this was for our good. And Tisha B'Av should be Mitzvah Hashem, yet be a Yom Tov.
Very good.
Yeah. I didn't overlap too much of what you were doing with the ceremony with the mouth.
It's different. He went to detail each one of what happened to exactly. Yes, so that way. It was more detailed.
Let's start one aspect of human Jewish existence, that's free will. They sold Yosef for free will, otherwise you
wouldn't have to. Not so.